Good morning. I'm not going to be referencing directly the gospel lesson today, but there's a lesson in here for all of us. Nine didn't thank Jesus, but there's nothing in the text that said that he then plagued them again with leprosy. God's grace provided healing, and the healing remained. A couple other introductory remarks. One just came to my attention a few moments ago. 50 years ago today, Ruth auditioned for the American Ballet. And she made it in. So we're twins separated by birth 50 years ago. The stoles I wear for service, they were sewn by my mother for October 12, 1969. And this cross, it was given to me by Jerry and Julie Janisco, dear and close friends who live in the Boston area, whom we see quite often these years. Jerry and I met in college. He was a seminary roommate. He was part of our wedding party. And he was a preacher at my ordination. And finally, I graduated from seminary a long time ago. My professors of homiletics, which is a fancy word for the art of preaching, were very clear. Your sermons are to be 20 minutes long. You got that, Woody? Woody's my clock keeper. Now, Pope Francis recently exhorted his priests, keep it to 10. Pastor Kyle clocks in around 10 to 12. I will be somewhere in that range. Now, I wish for today is that my story and my reflections of 50 years of ministry and life will stimulate and resonate with you, your life story, and your experiences in today's world. Today's not about me. It's about God's Spirit. For me, God's Spirit has been working on me for a long time, and it's been quiet and sneaky most of the time. Despite my worst efforts, God did not give up on me. God's Spirit has played with me, guided me, made good mischief in my life, and caused me all kinds of trouble. And in all that, that Spirit brought to life Paul's words in Romans. We know that in all things God works together for good for those who love him and are called according to God's purpose. I'm always coming up short on loving God. But you know, like those nine lepers, God's grace has rescued me and has rescued all of us here. In my experience, God's Spirit, it's not some ephemeral something somewhere floating out there. That Spirit has come to me and prodded me and scolded me and encouraged me through countless number of saints and sinners who have been part of my very, very fortunate life. Chief among those saints are Doris, my partner, my wife, my best friend of 55 years, our daughters Debbie and Kathy, and our son Andy. Not always appreciated, they have spoken truth to a very stubborn, boneheaded guy. They've loved me and they've encouraged me, laughed at me. And we have laughed a lot and we have sobbed a lot together. They are the top of the list of the many, many who are dear to me and continue to help me be a work in progress. Whew, 50 years. Actually, we need to go back 29 years before that, because I was thinking in retrospect, I was in a poetic sense, catch that, born into the particular pastoral ministry that was mine. I'll explain that, and I hope you will put yourselves into this story as well. It's not just mine. I was born in the Bronx of New York City in Union Hospital. 9 months later, Doris was born in the same hospital. We were fated to be married. At the age of 10 months, I moved to Yonkers, just across the Bronx line. In my neighborhood and my schools were a rich diversity of ethnicities and faiths. And I lived in two worlds as a boy, the world of St. Mark's Lutheran Church. My friends and the families and friends of my parents were all close. Some of you will remember part of your Missouri Synod background, very active and vibrant Walther League at that church. And then there was my world of schoolmates and playmates and friends who were Catholic, all matter of Protestant, Jews, and those of no faith attachment. 2 years of my high school were in downtown Yonkers, where I saw and heard and was marinated in even more varieties of ethnicities, cultures, skin tones, and a lot of names like Coach Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K. Added to all of that were the frequent excursions into New York City where my father worked. We went to Chinatown and Little Italy and often to Yorkville, which was the German enclave and the background of my heritage. Buses and subways, all manner of different people. Subway and elevated trains to Yankee Stadium. And at home and in school, I heard the insulting and cruel epithets of those who were not the WASPs, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Even as a boy, none of that made sense to me. Not because I was such a pious and good boy, but because these Jews and Catholics and Italians, just to name a few, were my friends. I was in their homes. I was on their sports teams. Likewise, I was told directly and indirectly that we needed to save the souls who were not Protestant, especially not Lutheran Protestant, and by all means, do not date a Jew or a Catholic. At worst, I was confused. At best, none of that made sense to me because of my experience and friendships that were developing and were cherished. And then I left the diversity of those cultures to the monoculture of college and seminary within the context of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I received a wonderful classical education. I was on campuses for 7 years. 5 of those years were only with Lutheran guys, either headed to or we were in the seminary together. And a 1-year internship at a church in our nation's capital. Doris and I were married 3 weeks before that internship. We took residence in an apartment above the education building of Christ Lutheran Church. We could not have experienced a better internship and a first year of marriage. Pastor and Mrs. Bruning were wonderful for us. Even their special headache specials of a drink, making Manhattans with Southern comfort. I don't recommend it. And as wonderful as that internship was, I could only articulate this many, many years later, that was a year of discernment, coming out with the parish was not for us. I didn't know it at the time, so the 4th year of seminary became a very discerning year as well, and we left St. Louis and we went to Southern California, where I entered a Doctor of Theology program in pastoral counseling and psychology of religion at the School of Theology. And the diverse world opened up again. Women, theological students, openly gay and lesbian classmates, one Lutheran, me. Field trip to the gay community of San Francisco, a part of an urban ministry study. And as a theological fellow at the Los Angeles Suicide Prevention Center, I was a deputy coroner investigating the suicides of returning Vietnam soldiers. I felt alive, challenged, stimulated, and I think Doris and I often talk about this, that she and I and our daughter Debbie, we thrived out there. And we returned to D.C. to a newly minted pastoral counseling center from 9-month doctoral fellowship that morphed into a 40-year counseling ministry. And for 25 of those years, I occupied an office 2 or 3 days a week at the second largest Unitarian Universalist church in the country, Cedar Lane. God really has sometimes a twisted but wonderful sense of humor. A newly minted Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor having a wonderful time with Cedar Lane folk and the best of theological discussions over lunch. I did have the good sense to not tell my district president that I was preaching at that church from time to time. I served on Cedar Lane's call committee, and the minister who came, he and I became very close friends, and long before it became public knowledge to his church and to the community, this man who was married and devoted to his wife and son took me into his confidence, letting me know that at heart he was a gay man who had prayed very hard for change, who had seen therapist after therapist to change, and who aided me, and he came to rest with his identity finally. He aided me and was a mentor to me of what it means to be part of that minority. That experience was life-giving and life-changing. His influence propelled me to write articles for a newsletter that influenced the decision 10 years ago this year for the ELCA to welcome openly gay and lesbian persons, individuals and partnered people to be part of the clergy roster. God's Spirit propelled me in so many funny ways. I was a boy who heard nothing about sex in my home. Nothing was talked about sexuality in college and seminary. I can only shake my head in astonishment of how the evolution has happened. Be sure again that you think about your own life and story about how God's Spirit has worked in your lives. The counseling center that I was part of, I often think of it as a Noah's Ark. Gay and straight, men and women, clergy and lay, Franciscan Brother Mark, Rabbi Ian Walk, Unitarian Universalists, Jews, all sorts of Protestants. For much of the time, one Lutheran, and then a second one named John, who 2 years ago married Diane Rehm. All gathered and engaged in a powerful counseling ministry for people who arrived in huge BMWs and those who could not afford a car. My clients, some were devoutly religious, some were not only unaffiliated with the church, but were recovering from abuse in the church. Christians and Jews, Buddhists, Persians, Muslims, gays, lesbian, clergy, individuals and couples, just to name a few. So why am I telling you all this? What am I to make of it, and what are you to make it in your life? Because I don't think my life is all that different from many of the lives of you who are gathered here. My parochial brain and heart were forever scrambled and off balance a good part of the time, a good off balance and a good scrambling. I trust that the Spirit of God led and accompanied me in all of these relationships, all of them. And to employ what I think is a solid biblical theme, all of these folks were and are my neighbors. And I was their neighbor. Not the Jericho Road neighbor of a man on a donkey or a guy in a ditch, but the day in and day out neighbor who was in my life and the neighbors who were in all of our lives. Like me, these persons I mentioned, they are in our lives all of the time. And these neighbors, they changed me. My neighbors enriched me. They challenged me. They challenged me in my certain beliefs and softened my heart. They assisted me in an ever-growing, increasing desire to have, as one of my pastors, our pastor said, to have the heart and the mind of Jesus and to totally follow our Lord. Really follow. Truly welcome those who enter our lives. So my fears are dissipating. Curiosity is rising. Prejudices are fading. And inclusion grows. And what's important for me in ministry and in life is constantly shifting. In seminary, I and my classmates, we spent an entire semester studying the Nicene Creed. We parsed it in Latin, Greek, German, and English. And at this point in my life, and this is about me, I don't have much interest in the creeds because they're totally silent about the life and the actions and the meaning of Jesus' life. We're called to follow Jesus, not only believe in him. We're called to love God and to love our neighbors, and to love them hard with our hearts, minds, and actions. We are called to welcome and create what Martin Luther King Jr. called the beloved community. Reach into your biblical knowledge. Recall Paul's dramatic conversion on the road to Emmaus. Not Emmaus, Damascus, right? Where? What, Barbara? Damascus, right? Thank you. He's on his way to persecute the followers of Jesus, and he's knocked to the ground, and the Lord says to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He doesn't say them. Why are you persecuting me? Recall that scene in Matthew, Jesus saying to that crowd, when I was hungry, when I was thirsty, when I was without clothing, and when I was in prison, you came to me. No religious affiliation is indicated, no membership in the same club, and no exam about what you believe. The criteria of our Lord Jesus the Christ is service. Especially to the needy and the immigrant, the frightened, the asylum seeker. And our Lord calls us to serve them, not to be afraid of them, and not to turn them away. For over and over again, our Lord says, and this is so important to me, you can stop being afraid. Think about that. Ponder that. And in a good way, our heads ought to explode. All those boys and girls, men and women with whom I grew up and counseled and enjoyed as colleagues and family, and the list goes on. These neighbors given by the Spirit, Jesus the Christ, I believe is in every one of them. And that Christ, as we are discussing in the Sunday morning book group, that Christ is known by many names and is alive in many faiths. Is Christ in them all? I think so. I say yes. And for some, the Christ is the suffering Christ of Good Friday. For some, the Christ is the Christ entombed in the dark and not yet resurrected, and they don't know who they are yet. And hopefully for the many, the Christ is the resurrected Christ of new and abundant life, more ready than ever to serve. Showing up on the shores of Galilee, preparing breakfast for us, and feeding us for the servant journey ahead. And so it is, I agree with Pope Francis' recent statement that has roiled the Catholic Church. Our God has willed the creation of many religions so that the people of diverse cultures and experience and traditions will have a faith that enlivens their lives in their place in history and enrich all of us. We don't need to compete with other faith traditions. We hold our own and we learn from others. And so, more than pains me, it gets me really upset when the evangelicals Franklin Graham and Robert Jeffers and Jerry Falwell very freely condemned all Jews to hell and assert that our brother, sister, Muslims are part of a filthy religion. Those folks, those sisters and brothers who will use our facilities in a few hours. And I'll just say what's in my head and heart. I think those people are loveless and bigoted, and they're acting no differently than the radical Islamists and the Taliban who insist that we Christians are heathen and worthy to be extinct. We're going to have a year, in a year, we're going to have an election, and hopefully that election, in part, will result to marginalize this cruel and non-Christian, Christ-like version of the faith. Six years ago, Doris and I moved here. And being part of this congregation for me has been wonderful. I feel so much at home in this place with you and in this part of the country. And the Spirit again created mischief for you and for me because I was your pastor for 4 months, despite that discernment of many years ago. I loved it. I love being your pastor. And part of that love, I knew it was time limited. I don't do well with administration. And now, I'm a chaplain part-time with Beata Hospice, and the circle is back again. Literally a circle. 2 weeks ago, Lewis died of lung and throat cancer. He was a devout Catholic who loved the Mass, and his heart ached when he could no longer attend, and the home became his church. Devoted son and daughter took care of him at home, and as death began to close in on Lewis and I came in to visit this crusty man, we sat side by side on his couch. In those last couple of visits, he would grab my hand and we'd hold tightly to each other as he struggled for breath. On a Friday morning recently, he died in his recliner in the living room. When I arrived a little few hours later, he did look like he was sleeping. When all the family and important friends were in attendance, we gathered in that living room. There were about 20 of us in a circle holding hands, and I was holding Lewis's left hand. The circle went around, and his beloved sister Diane was holding his right hand. And there we were, Catholic and Lutheran, Jehovah's Witness, Protestants, and those I did not know. More than one Make America Great Again hat. And I know this family, a couple of them had small revolvers in their pockets and handbags. And as I sat there in silence before praying, here I was back in my neighborhood again, my schools, my clients, my life, gathered in prayer, thanking our God for this good man and commending him, knowing that our Lord Jesus the Christ was in this place, blessing this gathering and blessing this man. So all of what I'm sharing is the witness to a mysterious, loving, compassionate God at work in my life and at work in all of our lives. I happen to be a pastor. Most of you are not and will not be ordained in the same way, but you are ministers wherever you are, called to follow Jesus the Christ in whatever work, family, and circumstance is yours. And as I reviewed this rather long sermon, Woody. I observe that the focus and the themes are about relationships, about embrace, about inclusion, about acceptance, about love, about breaking traditional barriers, about God's and good, powerful spirit proclaiming very good news, and it really is all about Jesus. All about people I've mentioned. We're different. That's all. Different. Loved into being by a loving God, dropped into our lives to enrich our lives, to soften and warm our lives, to sweeten and empower us to be about creating the beloved community of Jesus the Christ, or the beloved community by other holy names. So, in the words of Mr. Rogers, thank you for being my neighbor. And Frank is going to conclude this message of today.